Okay, it's 10 a.m. We'll get started. Thanks to those of you who have joined us today. We appreciate it. We will get started with a 911 division update from Melanie. So Melanie, if you want to start us off, that'd be great.
I'm sorry, Tina, did you say me? I was working on my headphones.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Hey, everyone, thanks for joining. We do have a lot happening in the 911 division. Some of the components that we're adding to the PSAPs has to do with AI. We have some, it's called Assist to 911, which is integrated into their mapping services for the Vesta 911 phone system. And this will be statewide in all of the PSAPs. What this does, it integrates probably five different elements. It's call handling, mapping, transcription, caller and facility data, as well as notifications into a single platform. And in the background, AI is assisting with all of that. So we're pretty excited to get that going. We have kickoff calls that have occurred in Utah County. We plan to install the first one at Metro. The second one, depending on when we can get everybody on the PSAP side to get all of the technical aspects taken care of, we plan to do all of Utah County first. We've started kickoff calls with Millard County, San Pete, Logan is coming up, and so on and so forth. So we have several things going on. Plan to do it regionally, but we will go to the PSAPs that are ready for the added technologies when they're up and running. The installations will be done. We have hardware and firewalls that will be installed by the technicians of Motorola, but everything can pretty much be done behind the scenes remotely. The second application that's being installed to PSAPs that opted in to use this is for non-emergency virtual response assistant. What's we call this VIRA or VRA. Essentially, the PSAPs that opt in to use this have the functionality to have their non-emergency phone calls routed to a standard 10-digit phone number for autonomous resolution of the call. It's providing oral and text-based self-service, which eliminates the need for a dispatcher's interaction. This is handled by an AI bot and built how the PSAPs want. It could be as simple as a phone tree capability, or it can be all the way up to answering information as what's the phone number for animal control, or how do I reach XYZ? That's built exactly how the PSAPs want it to be built. What the purpose of this is to assist PSAPs if they have staffing issues, to be able to focus on the 911 emergency calls and the situations that are happening on that end. The thing to note is a caller at any given time would be able to opt out of using this AI bot and will essentially be able to go into a queue and have their information or their call handled by the dispatcher. So there's not ever a time where they get lost in the AI system. Weber has been doing a pilot project on this for a few months. We have calls coming up with St. George to get them established, and a kickoff call will be occurring with Cedar, and then we'll be moving through the state. Some will be simultaneously, so we do have a lot of things happening at the PSAP level. I'll stop there and answer any questions if anyone has anything. Great. Thanks. Back to you, Tina. Oh.
Okay. Thanks, Melanie. Appreciate it. Phil, let's turn it over to you for our radio division update.
Yeah, good morning. I'll try switching cameras here. Okay, that worked. And we'll share this screen.
Did you guys stop for a bit?
Okay. We wanted everyone to be aware of an outage that we have coming up. This is for the P25 system only. We are doing some updates to our radio system core. This will sort of become a normal thing for us every 6 months to a year as L3Harris releases updates and whatnot to patch the systems, do Windows updates, that sort of thing. So this is our first iteration of that. As such, we update our Our backup system, we roll from our primary system onto our backup system, and that process takes about a minute's worth of time. So we're planning to do that on Wednesday, September 3rd, starting at 2 o'clock a.m. You'll see that we have the different regions spaced out 30 minutes apart. That's to give us some time if something doesn't go perfectly. But we anticipate that the outage that essentially the PSAPs will see is roughly 1 minute. Radio users won't experience anything except for a disconnect from their PSAPs for that 1 minute of time. So they'll still be able to communicate officer to officer. But the PSAPs won't be able to reach the officers, and the officers won't be able to reach the PSAPs without having some sort of a backup method in place. So we're working with the PSAPs to ensure that their backup method is in place, and so that we don't have, you know, a comms dark situation for 1 minute, even though it's early in the morning. You may be asking the question, what region am I part of? So we have a fairly generic region map here. You can see that you've got region 10 in blue, region 20 in yellow, region 30 in red, and region 40 in green. You'll notice that there are two triangles here in Salt Lake County. They're outcroppings of region 30 inside of region 10. And so if you're a PSAP, you need to be aware of that. And you can see which region that you fall under based on this list that we also sent out in this email. We sent this a notification out that had a lot of this data a week ago, and then we sent it out again yesterday. So any questions on the outage? Okay, that's what I had for this update. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Bill, just to confirm, we don't have anything on programming. Is that right?
I don't have anything on programming today, unless someone in the group here has something.
Any questions? Okay, great. I'll share my screen really quickly, just go over a couple of overall things that UCA is working on. If any of you logged into our board meeting, you've already kind of seen this presentation. I'm not going to go over it in the detail I obviously did at the board meeting level, but so we are, as you know, building a building. We've already purchased this property. It's about 4.5 acres in North Salt Lake, just west of where our current warehouse is. And so we are in the process of securing an architect. We're in the final phases of that. And then we will be moving on building a big, larger warehouse than we have now. And then we will be building warehouse space or office space. So we don't have to lease the office space that we're in now, which will save us a ton of money. And then we are building a backup PSAP on top of that. So our current assessment right now, or just very rough draft, is be a 50,000 square foot warehouse and a 24,000 square foot office space, of which 8,000 of that on the second floor will be a backup PSAP. And then we'll have a bunch of outdoor covered parking and different parking needs that we have based on the office space that we're going to be building. The P25 project will be, we have been working on the burn-in. As you guys know, you've heard us say that we entered into burn-in probably beginning of summer-ish sometime. We've paused burn-in because during burn-in, you can't make any system updates. You're supposed to be just testing the system as is to ensure that it works. And it became pretty apparent because our system has been installed for so long and we needed to do a bunch of software updates, some of which we were accounted for last week when we did our updates as far as the channels locking up on some of our sites along the Wasatch Front and one in St. George. We did some software updates to a couple of sites last week. We'll be doing some more site updates. We've been doing some software updates on some of the different components of the system. And so we're going to go through and completely update the system and all the elements of the system, and then go through our list of things that we want to, that we know need to be fixed. We have a patch coming, a software patch that will resolve some of the issues that have been reported by you guys. For instance, if you patch an encrypted talk group to an unencrypted talk group, things like that. So there we have a long list. We have pathways to resolve, I would say, all but one of them to date. So we will work on all of those, get all of those resolutions in place, and then we will do another burn-in period and then enter into the system acceptance portion of the contract and into official warranty. The lock channels on there, we do have a solution for that. We added a patch to two sites to test that solution. It worked. We didn't have any lock channels. That if you've experienced those, you know they're very random and they're situational. It's only at the site. It's not the actual talk group that's locked up. So we do have that solution. We've applied that solution to the North and South Salt Lake simulcasts as of Tuesday morning. A week ago Tuesday. Sorry, just trying to keep my week straight. And then, so again, we'll be applying that to the sites along the Wasatch Front, which is the only place we've really seen the lockups, with the exception of one site in Utah County or Salt Lake County, or excuse me, Washington County, where we'll apply that software update to that too. Then once we put the overall patch onto the system or update our software on the system, it will be in future releases. So it will essentially go to all of the sites anyway. But we'll do immediate fixes on the sites that we've seen lockups on. So we're excited to have that situation resolved and have a fix for that. The ISSI gateway that we've entered into an agreement with Nevada and Arizona is in process. We are doing, L3H will be down in Kane County doing some testing on the gateway the first week of September, the first full week of September. Then at the last half of that week, we'll join them and do some of our own testing and some co-testing with them. And then our plan is to meet with Kane and the agencies, the divisions of the different agencies that will be using the gateway first down in Kane County. We'll meet with them later this in September, and then we will do official programming the first-ish week of October, and then move on with that. Jamie Harsh, go ahead.
Just a quick question. Do you know if that'll help with the Coral Pink?
Yes, it's going to be amazing.
It will?
Great. Yes, because it will have use of the site that we have historically called Moccasin. It's actually a Pipe Spring site. It's the name of it is the Pipe Spring site on the Nevada/Arizona side of the border. And so that will feed into Pink Coral Sand Dunes, and you guys will have really good coverage there. Yes. So it'll be great.
Okay. And while I'm on, I'm the guy that sent out the extra emails to everybody. I apologize.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bill asked me this morning. He said, "Is Jamie Harsh holding a chat too?" And I said, "No, I think he deleted it." But anyway.
Yeah, every time I delete it, it seems like it sends another one out, so I just quit touching it.
Okay. Well, hopefully people aren't on your chat. Hopefully everyone who is wanting to be is on ours. So anyway, no problem. So that gateway will be awesome. That is something that is the beginning of what we will work on over the years in terms of getting and entering into agreements with bordering agencies around the entire state. This particular agreement gets us all along the Arizona and Nevada border. So the southern and western L shape, if you will, there's probably, if I remember correctly, about 20-ish sites of theirs that we'll be able to, our agencies will be able to utilize. So it will be impactful for more so for some agencies than others, depending on where you border another state. But anyway, we're excited about working through this process and getting up fine-tuned. We've done other miscellaneous site repairs as always. We've recently gone out and done some tuning of radios at different agencies. And I will say these are obviously radios that are Motorola radios, although I would say that I would strongly suggest that if regardless of the brand of radio, L3H, Kenwood, Motorola, I would, if I were a chief or I were responsible for radios, I would schedule those to be retuned once a year on average. But you can see that we had a lot of radios that failed the initial tuning. When we perform those two, that's not something that UCA typically does. We went out as a, because there were some issues going on and felt like it was of value to the agencies to show, not just to say like, hey, the problems are your radios, but to also just to show them the value of tuning the radio and how much better that radio will perform on the system when it's dialed in. And, so we did see a high degree of failures in a lot of the areas, and hopefully we've just sent them the agencies that we went out to. We sent them the reports, and so I haven't had any feedback from the agencies yet, but it's been very, very recent, and they just barely got their reports. So we've got that going. These are the type of failures that one agency saw based on the different failures that we saw during the tuning or the physical examination of their radios. You can see the frequency error. We saw that a lot on a lot of radios, and you can see what the symptoms are, which is intermittent or consistently garbled audio. And so if you go through some of these, you can just see, if you just look at the symptoms, the intermittent ability to key up, missing audio at dispatch, poor roaming performance, reduced range, radio doesn't work where other officers' radios work or field personnel work. Radio can overheat or poor battery life. We saw, amazingly enough, we saw a ton of radios. I don't know if I'd say a ton. We saw a lot of radios where they had the wrong antenna, an 800 band antenna only. Obviously, that's not going to work on our system or work very well on our system. And then a lot of issues with the vehicle radios and the installations of those radios. You guys know that we've been in the middle of updating. Go ahead, Jamie Harsh.
Sorry. Who do we, to get ours tuned, do we do that ourselves, or is there somebody we can take it to, or how does that? Yeah.
What model of radio do you have, or what make?
The L3 Harris.
I would contact L3H and see Deb Burton. Is there, okay. Yeah, reach out to her.
Sounds
if you
good.
Have Motorola radios, reach out to Motorola. There's a certain machine you have to have, and anyway, so we've been big on our antenna replacement since our last board meeting, so since June-ish. These are the list of antennas or the sites that we've swapped our antennas at. So you can see Strawberry, Dutton, East Bench, American Fork, Red Spur, Willow, Big Mountain, Little Mountain Vernal, City Creek, Copper Ridge, Black Crook, South Creek, Nelson, East Park, Goslin, Cal Mountain, and our UCA warehouse antenna. And if you haven't seen it before, you can see that green is good. And so you can see just even on Willow, the difference in swapping out the antennas, the better coverage that it gives you. Light blue is okay. Blue is fringy. Dark blue is fringy. But you can see on this Willow swap how much better the coverage was once we swapped it. Nelson Peak. Here's a sample of Red Spur. We are busy on our expansion sites. And really, this should say fiscal year 26 now, but Clay Hills in San Juan, we're moving on with that. Henderson Point's coming along. Marysville Canyon, it is pretty stagnant. We're not doing anything with that. We're really looking at other options of some sort of micro site or something down that canyon. Our Tucker site, we have purchased the building, and we're getting ready to award the construction part of that. We're just waiting on a vote from the HOA to allow us to put a building where there's already a communications site there. We've already entered into the agreement with the actual property owner. And then Phelps Hill, that one is good to go. We're just waiting on our L3H gear, which should be here in the next couple of weeks. And Jack's Peak, we're well on our way there and have ordered the gear and awarded the contracts for that. So we have a lot of things happening. We've been actively talking about other sites. We're talking about relocating our American Fork site, just not getting the coverage that we need out of that site. Just don't think that that's probably the best site. So we're in some conversations with Forest Service, and the reality is we'll probably relocate that site. But there's other sites we're looking at. As always, if you have any recommendations or any suggestions, please feel free to email us. But that's kind of it in a nutshell from an overall UCA perspective. If anyone has any questions or comments or concerns, we'd love to hear them. Okay, awesome. I don't think we have anything in the chat, and I'm not seeing any hands up. Just a reminder, we have opened up our stakeholder meeting that will be held November 4th and 5th, the Tuesday and Wednesday in November. We have a sign-up link on our website. The only reason why we're even charging any money is just so that people will commit to us. We have a firm number. In years past, we just have never known how many people we were going to have show up. And so at times we've purchased food and maybe wasted some of it because we haven't had as many people, or we've overshot it. So we're just trying to make sure that we have enough seating for everyone, that we can accommodate anyone who wants to come, and so that we have food. We'll be offering breakfast both days and snacks both days, but hopefully you guys will want to come down there. I think that we have some good training scheduled. We've got L3H, who will be doing a breakout session on programming. We've got Motorola Radio, who will also be doing a breakout on programming. And then we've got Motorola Phone doing some training for the PSAPs on some of the phone overlays that Melanie was talking about earlier. And so then we've got updates. We've got some other customer elements that we're going to be adding in, as far as how one of our customers is using the Beyond on their radios and using Starlink to get additional coverage in areas. So anyway, we're pretty excited about our lineup for the stakeholders. So hopefully you guys will want to come and get signed up. And so other than that, if there aren't any questions or comments, I would say thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your patience. If you are not still adding tickets, please do. We're still actively looking at every single ticket and still actively working to improve the system continuously. And I think that we are. I think hopefully all of you would agree that today's system is wildly different than and better than it was in January or February of this year. So we appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to jump on this call.
Thanks for your information.
Thanks, Jeremy.